Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started today, we're certainly going to look to the Lord in prayer as we normally do, but we also want to mention, and we'll mention it next week, Lord willing, too, and probably a little bit the week after. For the next few weeks, we'll try to mention it, but our home church at Clear Branch Missionary Baptist Church in Purvis, Mississippi, is about to celebrate their 100th anniversary. This will be on, September 15th, starting, I believe, at 10 o'clock that morning. That'll be on a Saturday, and we did that so more of the former pastors and things of that nature can come. And we're certainly looking forward to that. I know that our home church has been real excited about that the Lord's blessed us to be together as a church for 100 years. And we're certainly thankful for that. And we're certainly grateful in every way for that. And we wanted to give that open invitation. Again, that's going to be on September 15th, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning, if I remember correctly. And the church is located at 564-564 Purvis to Brooklyn Road in Purvis, Mississippi. Zip code is 39475. If you'd like to come and be a part of that service, you'd be more than welcome. I know they're expecting a good crowd, and we're certainly looking forward to that service. Going to have revival starting on the 16th, and the week following, Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock nightly, having different minister come every night. Some of them will be former pastors, some of them will be people that's preached revivals here before, and things of that nature, but a different minister each night, and we're just looking forward to it. I know our family is, I know our church family is, and we're just really excited. Wanted to give you that open invitation and give you enough warning to where you could plan ahead and be there for that day if you so desired. But again, that'll be September 15th at Clear Branch Missionary Baptist Church in Purvis, Mississippi. The address is 564 Purvis to Brooklyn Road. And before we get started with the message today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been so good to us, so much better than we'd ever deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to accomplish your will. Lead and guide in the message. Help us to say the things that bring glory and honor to your name. And Father, we ask that for your blessings, that you would touch the hearts of those that are lost and help the saved to see their need to walk close to you. Father, we need you so much, and we ask for these blessings all in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. We're going to begin today, and I want to turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. The book of Philippians, chapter 4, and I want to read verse 5. He's telling the church here, I know there's several things that he encourages the church on, but in verse 5 he says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand." Now he's talking about modesty and moderation. And we're supposed to be modest in many aspects of our life. I know modesty is mostly focused on dress, and we're probably going to focus a lot on that today. But I want us to notice that God has taught his people, he's commanded his people that we live in moderation. And that's moderation and how we carry out our lives. I try to be modest in the vehicle I drive. And what I mean by that, I'm not against anybody having a nice vehicle or things of this nature, but I try to be modest with it. You know, I try to get the best vehicle that's going to last for the longest time and, you know, be the safest vehicle for my family and things of this nature. And I know there's people that also buy vehicles to be seen. If we're buying vehicles to be seen, you know, that's a different subject. And listen, I'll say this. Some people say, well, Christians shouldn't have sports cars then. Yeah, you know, they shouldn't have four-wheel drive trucks, and they shouldn't have And people go on down the list, and I try to be very careful with this and ask a simple question. And whatever you're getting, what are you getting it for? There's nothing wrong with owning a classic vehicle and restoring it and fixing it up. I believe back when we studied on church discipline, back in Galatians chapter 6, and it's talked about restoring, that I made mention that one day I'd like to restore, you know, a Ford Mustang. You know, that's been a desire of mine. I've got a desire to restore an old tractor at some point in time. Don't know if I'll ever get to do either one of those, but it's not because I'm trying to be seen by somebody else or saying, look at what Brother Brandon has. It's because I just like fixing things up. I enjoy doing that. I like making things look nice. There's nothing wrong with things looking nice. I'll refer you to the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. She had some pretty nice clothing. But I guarantee you this, it wasn't immodest. You can have nice clothing and wear it in a modest way. You can have nice clothing and wear it in an immodest way. A lot of times it's about what you do with it. And we need to be careful in how we conduct ourselves as God's people. Am I trying to show off different things? Am I trying to show off how God has blessed me in things of this nature? Or am I trying to use what God has given me to point others to Christ? And that's the attitude that we as Christians need to have. And it does need to be reflected in our vehicles, in our homes, in our clothes. Now, dealing with modesty, let's turn over to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says in verse 9, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now notice that statement. God wants our works to be seen, not just our outward appearance. There are people that wake up every day and, man, I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to make my hair look extra spiffy. And listen, I've seen a lot of church ladies get carried away with their hair. There's nothing wrong with trying to look nice. There's nothing wrong with trying to look your best for the Lord. I will understand all that. But we can get carried away with things and want the attention on us. I believe I've seen women wear outfits, and not just women. I've seen men wear outfits that say, look at me. We need to be modest with it. If I'm trying to show off my muscles as a man with an outfit I'm wearing, am I being modest? If I'm wearing something tight and revealing, am I being modest? I've got to carry myself in a manner that's fitting with what the Scripture would teach and say. And notice it started in verse 9, in like manner. So that means it applies to men, not just women, but it talks about adorning themselves in modest apparel. Now, there are definitions to words, and even if you go back to the Greek and you study it and you go in depth, what this is trying to say here with modest apparel is long and loose clothing. Now, the church for centuries believed so strongly in this that there were even women that thought it was a sin when they revealed their ankles. Now, there's nothing about revealing the ankles as being a sin in the Scripture. I'm going to be clear on that. But there are Scriptures that talk about revealing the thigh and how that's nakedness. There are Scriptures, like in the book of John, when you find that in verse chapter 21, around verse 7 of the book of John, you find Peter that the Bible says he was naked. Some people say, well, he was without a stitch of clothing on. Do you know any man that likes to be without a stitch of clothing on around other men? Especially while fishing. I've seen men that like to go without a shirt, though. And what did he cover himself with? A coat. What does a coat cover? The upper part of the body. And it says that he was what? Naked. It's not good for us men to go naked. Which means we shouldn't be showing the upper part of our body without a shirt on, without covering on. And again, nakedness is more than just whether we have clothing on or not. It's about the manner of clothing. Is it see-through? Is it revealing? Is it to show off again our muscles for men? Or to show off the body parts for women? That long and loose clothing meant a lot. And it was established doctrine for well over 1900 years in the church. And let me say this, it still is established doctrine by God's standards. God hasn't changed. But we need to adorn ourselves in modest apparel. Notice that statement, adorn. And he also told us to not adorn ourselves with what? Broided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly array. Some people have taken that I can't have any gold. I can't have any pearls. I can't have this. No, it said adorn. And that's the attention of you. I've got a gold ring on my left hand. My wedding ring. But I guarantee you, when you meet me, you hardly notice it. I didn't design it. And I didn't buy one that would get noticed. I bought it for what it represents, the symbolic meaning that it represents. And I intentionally bought the ring that I bought because I desired to be modest with it. Can somebody wear a little bit of gold and be modest with it? They can. Can a lady have a small little pearl necklace or something that just goes with maybe the outfit, but it's not gaudy and it's not the focal point that everybody's looking at and say, man, that necklace is huge or that necklace draws attention. It's just a small apparel sometimes. Modest. You ever seen a woman with makeup that wasn't modest with it? Or you ever seen a person wear the jewelry that you can tell they're just trying to get attention and say, look at what I've got, look at the things that I own? You ever seen somebody have a shirt that you were like, man, that thing's bright, that draws attention. Draws attention to who? Them. Again, we talked last week about being decently in an order. Are we trying to bring attention to Christ or us? And listen, I've seen people drive the same automobile, but one has theirs designed to get attention, and the other one has the vehicle. You ever seen that? Sometimes that's with the rim, sometimes that's with just different things about it. And all things we're wanting to do what? We're wanting to be in moderation. We don't want the attention on us, we want the attention on Christ. And listen, even the way that I dress for Sunday services, you know, I got a suit. I wear a suit when I go to preach. But I try to be careful with the suits that I get. I don't want them to be too loud. Don't want my shirts to be loud or anything like that. Most of the time I just wear white shirts. I try to stay basic because I want the attention when I preach to be on the message of God, not on me. I try to get my ties and I try to be modest with them. I don't want people to say, man, look at the preacher's tie. Look at his suit. Look at his shoes. Look at this. I don't want the attention to be on me. I want to be modest in what I'm doing. I want to have respect for the office that I hold and things of that nature. And there's a line there. Again, you go back to the woman in Proverbs 31. Did she have some nice clothes? The Bible says she did. She was clothed in what? Purple and fine linen. She didn't have the cheapest rags around. She tried to look nice. But I'll say this about her. You didn't see it as it was, oh, just look at me. Did she take care of herself and have some nice things? Yes. And you can have some nice things. You can have a nice home. You can have a nice car. Not preaching against that. but with modesty. And part of modesty is living within our means. I've told people before, you know, I've tried to be very frugal in different things in my life. I can remember when I bought the house that I went to the bank to get the loan for it. They tried to convince me that I could afford a house $50,000 more than what I said I could afford. And I said, I might can qualify for that, but I said, I'm telling you right now, I can't pay that bill. They said, oh, our records show that you can, and you could do this, and you can get that. And I was like, no, you don't understand. I said, I'm telling you right now, I can't afford that. Could I have possibly pushed it where my family was eating nothing but beans and rice, and we were paying that house note 1 month at a time, but having nothing else about us? Yeah, could have. Would that have been the modest thing to do? Would that have been using the resources of God well? Well, what God's blessed me with and what God's given me in life, would it have been using it well? Would it have been using it in a modest way? You know, I've tried to pay my bills on time and do things. Again, that's just a godly thing. That's what God teaches us to do. God teaches us to avoid debt. God teaches us to stay away from certain things. And you'll go to buy an automobile sometimes and say, man, you're wanting this vehicle, but we can get you this one. And you're like, that's not the one I want. And I said, and I know I can't afford that other one. What they don't understand is the amount of money I spend on gasoline. Driving back and forth and going places, and they don't understand that. They don't understand a preacher paying for his own health insurance and things of this nature. They don't understand a lot of things. And I try to make it, you know, where if we're wise with what God's given us, I can do some things with my family from time to time. I don't want to borrow every dollar that somebody can give me. That's not making good resources. That's not making good use of what God has laid into my trust. And I'm not a rich man by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't care if you can afford nothing but a $100 car note. There's sometimes you'll go up there and they'll say you can afford a $200 car note, and I hope y'all understand that. I'm not saying they were saying that I could get some great expensive vehicle. I'm just saying by what my level was and what their level was a far different. If I say I can afford a $100,000 house and they say I can afford a $150,000 house, we're not on the same wavelength. And what I try to tell them is, I say I try to be good with what God has given me. I try to be modest with it. How can I help my neighbor out if every dollar that I've got is going out of my pocket to pay for my house note, my car note? That's not being modest, is it? And it's not using the resources of God well. When a missionary comes in and I'm paying an extra $300 on a house when I should have bought one $300 a month less, and I can't give to the missionary because every dollar I've got's going out because I've not been modest with what God has given me and laid in store. And listen, I've known people, millionaires, that might have, you know, a 2,000 square feet, 3,000, 4,000 square feet house. But if they're millionaires, they can pay that off pretty quick. In all honesty, different level there. And I've seen some that even have that stature that are just 2,000 square feet and different things. And I'm going to leave that between them and the Lord on their modesty. But if they've been blessed with more and they're being modest with what God has given them, I'm thankful for it. And they're not trying to just draw attention to themselves and be selfish and things. There's a standard, though, of modesty, isn't there? There's a standard of how we should dress. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5 says that a man shall not wear that pertaineth to a woman, and a woman shall not wear that pertaineth unto a man. Man, we've far left that, haven't we? Hardly any lines left, and look at the world that we've got because of that. But that's a part of modesty, isn't it? Do you know that God likes men and women to look different? If you go and study 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it even goes into hair length and talks about how he desires them to look different. And coverings or veils are even discussed in that chapter. If you read it, it's mentioned the word coverings, but that's what we'd commonly refer to as veil. And God says, I gave women hair for a covering. And the custom we don't have in the churches is veils. But if you study church history, there were women that would actually wear stuff on top of their hair and have them, you know, in those type of veil things. If you come across a Mennonite or an Amish person today, a lot of them still wear those things. You'll see the women, they'll have the little things on top of their head and the little coverings. But God said, I gave women hair. He doesn't give us a custom of veils. But he did teach us that he desires men to have short hair and women to have long hair. He said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And it certainly implied that it's a shame for a woman to have short or shorn hair. You know why God likes the difference? And it's a form of modesty. There's a reason that he used the word covering. Covering is what? Modesty. It's what it is. And we have far left those things about being modest. How many ladies today want to dress like a lady? How many men today want to dress like a modest man? And I've seen a lot of people do a lot of hard work over the years, and they've been able to dress modestly. Some people say, well, I get hot and I get sweaty. Well, is it more important that you get hot or sweaty or that you be modest? Because I've seen people stay out in the garden during the summertime, planting, picking, doing all the things out there, and be well modest. If they can do it, why can't you? I'll tell you why they were focused on it. They were more concerned about how they met God and their reflection of Him. And it makes an impact. People say, preacher, why would you even focus on modesty? Why would you talk about it? Why would you bring it up? For several reasons. One, I want somebody to tell you the truth. It's not about somebody being better than somebody else and all this other stuff. It's about us showing that our lives are here to honor God. And that's a major reward issue. If you're not living your life to honor God, then you're missing out on a whole lot of blessings as a saved person, aren't you? And I will tell you this. I've had lost people. People say, we're concerned about lost people. Well, let me deal with lost people. I've had lost people tell me, they say, why would I go to that church? They said the women dress like, and I'm not even going to repeat some of the words that they say. But they were saying that they dressed immodestly. Sometimes they talked about the men and said they dressed immodestly. They were lost people. And they could read the scriptures and say they don't abide by that Bible. I've read some of it. I've heard some of it. And what they were saying is because of the immodesty of some church members, it hindered them from trusting Christ. Now, I've never heard people say that people were too modest. As far as saying, well, I'd never trust in Christ because those people, you know, they're too modest. And I'll say this to you as lost people. If you're lost, I want to tell you about Christ. Modesty's an issue for saved people. It's an issue for people who've already trusted in Christ. I had somebody ask me a question. They said, what would happen if a man would show up to church dressed like this or a woman show up to church dressed like that? I said, man, if they're lost, I just want to preach Christ to them. I said, they become a member of the church. I said, that's a different subject. And I hope people well understand that those are two different subjects. But I'll tell you right now, there's been a lack of lost people reached because there's been a lack of light in the way we show our moderation, in our attitude, and how we conduct ourselves in business, and how we dress, and how we carry ourselves before friends and families, and the moderation of our speech, and the moderation of our attitude. All those things matter. And I promise you, all I'm doing today, as we did last week, is I'm scratching the surface. That's all I'm doing, is scratching the surface on some of this to hopefully provoke thought and point you into walking closer with the Lord. But I'll tell you, there are many scriptures in the Bible on modesty. There are several of them that we've just read this morning. The question is, what are you going to do with them? You're going to say, well, I don't think that's important. Well, I don't feel burdened about that. It's not about whether you feel burdened or not. It's not a matter of how you feel about it. You're not to lean upon your own understanding. You're to lean upon God. Are you His servant? Are you your servant? If God says it, you going to follow it or you going to rebel against it? I'll remind you, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. We need to understand that modesty is a very important issue in the Bible. It is an important issue for how we are living to serve God, setting the standard, being the light of the world as God's people, saying this is how we're going to conduct ourselves. That as a woman you say that my body is a treasure for my husband. It's not to show off here in the world. That as men, whether we got muscles or whether we got fat or whatever it is, that whatever we have in life, that it's to be kept. Secret, covered, that we're to conduct ourselves in a way that is honorable, orderly, and pleasing unto the Lord. That Christ is seen in us and our works in Christ are seen instead of us. These are important doctrinal issues. And ultimately, it's so that Christ can be seen in us, so that the lost will desire Christ and want to be saved. And modesty is a major issue in that subject. And if you want to argue the subject, you're not arguing with me, you're arguing with God. Because He's the one that had it put in His Word, Old Testament, New Testament, in several different locations, in several different forms, talking about several different subjects on the subject of modesty. And the church used to think that that was highly important. And I believe because of the sin that we've seen manifest and grow over the past 100, 150 years as we've become less modest and moved away from those things in all areas of our lives, we can see the consequences of what happens when we forsake modesty according to Scripture. And if we want to restore those things, we're going to have to restore some moderation about our lives. If we want to see more of God's blessings in those areas, we're going to have to restore some of that. We're going to have to repent of some things that we've done, that we've allowed. And I can't force that on you. I'm not here to force that on you. I'm here to preach the truth to you because I love you, I care about you, and I know the truth is the only thing that can help us see more of the blessings of God in our life. Dear friends, I pray that this could be a study that would provoke thought. I pray that it would have us digging in our Bibles to seek God's will. And I pray that we'd give it the prayer time it deserves so that we could see more of God's blessings and even be a greater impact to the lost in our lives. I just pray this could be a help and a blessing. If you'd have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-544-7920. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. We pray that this could be a blessing. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory, and Father, help us to follow You, that we could see Your blessings in our lives. For we ask all this in the name of Jesus, for He is worthy. Amen.